Great persecution against the believers in Jerusalem resulted in their scattering throughout Judea and Samaria. And as they scattered, they proclaimed the gospel wherever they went. Philip, whose ministry in Samaria is recorded in Acts 8, it was one of those scattered. After the believers in Samaria had received the Holy Spirit, Philip was directed by the Holy Spirit to go south to the road leading from Jerusalem to Gaza. After arriving at an unknown place on this road, Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch and was privileged to lead him to Christ and to baptize him. Following the baptism, Philip was caught up by the Holy Spirit to Azotus, that's Ashdod, where he continued preaching the word in various cities while making his way back to Caesarea. The account turns to the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who met the Lord on the road to Damascus, where he was going to carry out threats and slaughter against believers. Immediately, Saul began preaching Christ in the synagogues and confounded the Jews dwelling in Damascus, proving from the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah. As a result, the Jews sought to kill Saul, but he, in accordance with the will of God, managed to escape their efforts. In Jerusalem, Saul attempted to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him. Barnabas, however, introduced Saul to the apostles, enabling him to associate with them. Persecution against Saul by the Jews resulted in his being sent to Tarsus. As a result of Saul's conversion, the churches throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria experienced rest from their persecution, were edified, and were multiplied. As we look at the contents of Acts chapter 9, we see that chapter 9 opens with Saul's continued intent to annihilate Christianity. To do so, he obtained letters from the high priest to the synagogues in Damascus, that he might bring believers in Christ back to Jerusalem as prisoners. As he approached Damascus, Saul's effort was interrupted by his conversion as a result of Jesus appearing to him. Saul, blinded by the light, was led into Damascus, where he spent 3 days without sight, food, or drink. A man named Ananias was sent by the Lord to put his hands on Saul that Saul might receive his sight. Although reluctant to go because of fear, Ananias went and carried out the Lord's instructions. Saul immediately received his sight, arose, was baptized, ate, associated with the disciples in Damascus, and preached that Christ is the Messiah. What a change had taken place in Saul's life as the result of his salvation. Eventually, the Jews plotted to kill Saul, but he escaped by being let down the city wall in a basket. Sometime later, Saul found himself in Jerusalem, but was met by the disciples with suspicion. Barnabas took a chance on Saul and introduced him to the apostles with whom he was then able to associate. Once again, the Jews sought to murder Saul. So the disciples sent him to Caesarea and then on to Tarsus. As a result of his salvation, the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria experienced rest from persecution, were edified, and were multiplied. Now, reading the text starting in the second half of verse 19 and going through verse 31, we read, "Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Well, let's take and break this down so that we have a good understanding of exactly what was taking place here. Verse 19b, that's the second half of 19, indicates that Saul spent some time with the believers at Damascus. It says, Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now, the first half of Acts 9:19 immediately follows Saul's conversion. Then, before the second half of verse 19, there is a gap of time during which Saul went into Arabia. After his return from Arabia, Saul spent additional time in Damascus when he preached Christ in the synagogues and when he confounded the Jews at Damascus. Saul embodied the truth he would later write in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19 helps with some of the time sequence. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, which means among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none save or except James, the Lord's brother. What do you suppose Saul was doing while he was in Arabia? Sightseeing? Not likely. It would seem that he was going through a major adjustment in his thinking to the idea that Jesus, whom he had been opposing, was actually the promised Messiah. He had learned the Old Testament scriptures very well. He had to adjust his thinking. Now he had to realize the Old Testament scriptures were proclaiming the coming of Jesus Christ. I'm guessing that's exactly what he was doing, was readjusting his thinking based on his new salvation experience when Jesus appeared to him on that way or road to Damascus. Then indicates a continuation of the narrative, and it's understood in the sense of and or now. Then was Saul, is, Saul was at home. Saul came, Saul went, or Saul appeared. Certain days is some days, but no specific time is given. Saul was at home certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, indicates those with whom Saul was now associating or keeping company. They are the very ones he had gone to Damascus to persecute. And it suggests that he was at home in and a part of their group. He fit in with this group he had gone to persecute. Verse 20 indicates that Saul immediately began preaching in the Jewish synagogues that Jesus is the Messiah, the very message he had previously violently opposed. Now you have to understand this is taking place after the gap in time in verse 19. He didn't get up and preach Jesus in the synagogues the day after his salvation, okay? This is sometime later. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And straightway is immediately or at once. He preached Christ as he was or began preaching or proclaiming Christ in the synagogues, suggesting places where Jews gathered that he is the Son of God, indicates what Saul was proclaiming about Jesus Christ. It's another way of saying that he is the Messiah for whom the Jews were looking. It's reminiscent of John 20. 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Also in Acts 8:37, you'll remember that the Ethiopian eunuch announced to Philip that he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he did that before Philip baptized him. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with that all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He recognized that Jesus was God's Son, the Messiah. In verse 21, we see the utter amazement of those who heard Saul as the result of Saul's complete turnaround. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Well, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to Luke's statement in verse 20, that Saul immediately preached in the synagogues that Christ is the Son of God, or that Christ is the Messiah. All that heard him is all the ones hearing, or all the ones who were hearing. And as indicated by the italics, him has been supplied by the translators in reference to Saul, and it's needed in the context. The tense of were amazed and have said indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. Were amazed is were astonished and is used of astonishment mingled with fear caused by events which are miraculous, extraordinary, or difficult to understand. And said is and were saying or and were uttering. Were amazed has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and they were amazed. All the ones who were hearing him and were saying or were uttering. The question they were asking expects a yes answer. Is not this he? Is the question. And it's understood in the sense of this is he, is it not? And implies, yes, it is he. This one is identified as he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem. Destroyed suggests tried to destroy. He missed a few of them, but he got some others. Annihilated, made havoc of, or killed. Saul was apparently successful in killing some, but not others. What a change has taken place in his life. Now he's the target. Them which called on this name in Jerusalem refers to believers located in Jerusalem who were praying to Jesus. It is literally the one destroying in Jerusalem, the ones calling on this name. And of course, this name refers to Christ, the Son of God. It was in Jerusalem that Saul was attempting to destroy those calling on the name of Jesus Christ. But we realize that it made no difference to him whether they had been calling on Jesus' name in Jerusalem or elsewhere. In other words, if they'd gone outside the city of Jerusalem and called on Jesus' name elsewhere, he would still have sought to destroy them wherever he found them. In Acts 26:11, Paul, that's the same guy, Saul became the Apostle Paul. But he's referred to as Paul in Acts 26:11. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange, meaning unto foreign cities. And then we read, and came hither for that intent. And it is, and he has come here, that is to Damascus, for this purpose. He is Saul, and he would eventually become known, as I've already said, as the Apostle Paul. Came hither is has come here, meaning has come to Damascus. Hither has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and here, for this he has come. For that intent is simply for this, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. That is in order that, or for the purpose that, and he is Saul, and them refers to those who call on the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bound is used to describe them, and it indicates the state of being in which he intended to bring them unto the chief priest, meaning to the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem, as the intended destination. Bound and them have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, in order that bound them he might bring to the chief priests. He was going to bind them, put them in fetters, and they were going to have to go back to Jerusalem from Damascus, already bound when they left Damascus. Verse 22 indicates Saul's progress in witnessing to the Jews. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. As translated, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to the previous verse. It might instead be understood as continuing the thought in the sense of and or now. Saul increased the more in strength is Saul was strengthened more, meaning he became more strong. He was strengthened rather, or became strong rather. Now this can speak of physical strength. Verse 19 indicates, for example, that he had been physically weak. It says there, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. However, it can also speak of spiritual strength as he understood more and more of the Old Testament scriptures and Jesus as the Messiah. In view of what follows in the next statement, spiritual strengthening is the better choice. And confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus means he was bewildering. He was confounding, or he was confusing the Jews who were dwelling or residing in Damascus. And the tense of confounded indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. He kept confounding them, or he was confounding them. Proving is used in conjunction with confounded, and its tense denotes continuing or repeated action at the same time as the action of confounded. It may instead be understood as indicating time in the sense of while proving or while offering proof, or secondly, as indicating how he confounded the Jews in Damascus in the sense of by proving or by offering proof, or thirdly, as indicating a fact in addition to confounded in the sense of and was proving or and was offering proof. A variety of ways to particularize the word proving, but he was seeking to demonstrate for them that this is very Christ, that this one is the Christ or the Messiah. Verse 23 indicates that the Jews eventually determined to murder Saul. Isn't that kind of interesting? That's what they did with believers to silence them. They'd kill them. Aren't we glad we're not living in that society at this point in time? Now that may change. You know how the government is changing now and then. We're glad for the change in direction that's taken place now, but who knows in 4 years what's going to happen? We may find that we are in trouble for our lives. That's all right. We'll wake up in heaven if they kill us. It's no big deal. It's like going through a passageway and getting into heaven from this life. Verse 23 says, and after that many days were fulfilled. How many is many? We don't know. But it's quite a few. After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. After that many days were fulfilled is, and while many days were being fulfilled. It suggests that over a period of many days, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now the Jews speaks of unsaved people of Jewish nationality who were opposed to the gospel. Took counsel is simply plotted. To kill him is to murder him. They were plotting to murder Saul. And to kill speaks of getting rid of by execution, doing away with, or destroying. They couldn't outwit him because they were wrong theologically and he was right. And he had the Holy Spirit directing him, so they're going to get rid of him by eliminating him from life. Verse 24 indicates that Saul learned of the murderous intentions of the Jews who were watching the city gates so that they might capture and kill him. Now let me ask you, how much danger was he really in? And the answer is none. They were plotting this, all right. They were trying to kill him, but there's somebody named God, the Holy Spirit, who was protecting him. There's nothing they could do, although they certainly were trying to do it. But their laying await was known of Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Okay, they're plotting. And they're going to catch him when he tries to go out through the city gates. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to the Jews' plot to murder Saul. They're laying await, where there refers to the Jews intending to kill Saul, is their plot. Was known of Saul means became known to Saul. Now, how the plot became known to Saul is not revealed. We don't have to know how he found that out. God, the Holy Spirit, made it clear to Paul. Saul, take your pick. How the plot became known is not revealed. Was known of Saul has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, but became known to Saul, their plot. And they watched. They were watching or guarding, and its tense denotes continuing action in past time. And what they were guarding was the gates of the city of Damascus. They figured he's got to come out of here sometime. Didn't work out that way, but that's what they must have been figuring. Day and night indicates by day and by night, or daytime and nighttime. Their purpose in guarding the city gates was to kill him. The same word used in verse 23, meaning to get rid of by execution, to do away with or to destroy. It is in order that they might kill him. Him, of course, refers to Saul, has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, in order that him they might kill. Verse 25 indicates how Saul escaped the murderous intentions of the Jewish people. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. Must have been a big basket, right? Then indicates a continuation of the narrative. It might instead introduce a statement in mild contrast to verse 24 and be understood in the sense of but, indicating how the Jewish plot was foiled. The disciples took him indicates that some saved people took Paul. Took is used in conjunction with let down, and its tense denotes action that occurred before the action of let down. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to let down, but it may instead be understood as indicating time in the sense of having taken him or after they took him by night. It was at nighttime. It was under cover of darkness. Lowering appears in the Greek text, but was not translated into the English. It is used in conjunction with let down. And because its meaning is similar to let down, it was apparently not translated. It indicates the means by which Saul was let down to the ground. They were lowering him in a basket. By the wall is through the wall and implies through an opening in the wall. I'm guessing it was a window. They were lowering him through the wall that enabled him to get out of Damascus without going through the city gates where people were watching for him in order that they might capture him and kill him. In a basket is in a large basket or hamper. The same word translated basket is used of the baskets in which the fragments of food following Jesus' feeding of the 4,000 were picked up. This incident of Saul's escape from Damascus is also described in 2 Corinthians 11:32 through 33. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. I wonder how big Saul was. Well, let's see. My guess is that he's not as big as Dean over here. Dean might be pretty heavy in a basket, okay? Dean's a big man. Don's a big man. Some of the rest of you men are big. Not likely was he that big. He might have been fairly small. We don't know how big he was. He was small enough to fit into that basket. It might have been cramped, but he was in it. And down he went. It sure beat getting killed by going out the door. I'm guessing it didn't take him long to make the decision to get in the basket and be let down the wall. Verse 26 indicates that at first, Saul was not trusted by the disciples in Jerusalem. Okay, all of a sudden, he's no longer at Damascus. Now he's in Jerusalem. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. You can understand that. And believed not that he was a disciple. Saul found himself in a difficult situation in Jerusalem. The Jews regarded him as a traitor, and the believers were suspicious that he was only pretending to be a believer in order to gain access to them so that he might persecute them even more effectively than he had previously. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem is used in conjunction with essayed, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of essayed. In the Greek text, Saul is the subject of essayed. It is he having come to or having arrived in Jerusalem, and implies after he came to or after he arrived in Jerusalem. Essayed? What's that mean? That's not one of those words that's in my everyday vocabulary. Maybe it's in yours. But it means Saul endeavored, Saul tried, or Saul attempted. Now, we understand those words. Essayed doesn't seem to me to be a common word in 21st century English. What Saul attempted to do was to join himself to or to associate with the disciples, meaning with saved people who were following Jesus. However, the disciples would have none of it. As but suggests, you understand that. If this man had been trying to kill you just a year or two earlier, or however long it was, you'd be concerned about him too. Instead, they were all afraid of him. All were fearing him. The tense of were afraid indicates ongoing or continuing action in past time. And believed not is used in conjunction with were afraid. And its tense likewise indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of were afraid. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to were afraid. It might instead be understood as indicating cause, in the sense of because they were not believing. And what they were not believing is that he was a disciple. They apparently thought he was only pretending to be a follower of Jesus so he could persecute them as he had previously persecuted others. Well, God took care of the situation. Verse 27 indicates that Barnabas took a chance on Saul, believing that he had been genuinely saved. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. But introduces a statement in mild contrast to the initial reaction of the disciples in Jerusalem to Saul. Barnabas literally means the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. He was introduced in Acts 4. Took him means he took Saul and brought him to the apostles. In the Greek text, Barnabas is the subject of brought and also of declared. Took is used in conjunction with brought, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of brought. It's literally having taken him, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to brought. In addition, Barnabas brought him to the apostles. Barnabas also declared unto them, meaning to the apostles, how he, meaning how Saul, had seen the Lord, had seen Jesus in the way, suggests on the road to Damascus. Barnabas' introduction of Saul continues, and that he, meaning that Jesus, had spoken to him, meaning Jesus had spoken to Saul. Barnabas also declared how he, that is how Saul, had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And that Damascus has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and how in Damascus he spoke boldly, fearlessly, or openly in the name of Jesus. Verse 28 indicates that Saul was associating with the apostles in Jerusalem, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. The tense of he, meaning Saul, was coming in and going out indicates continuing or repeated activity in past time. It indicates that they, meaning the apostles, had accepted him as an associate. He was with them, meaning with the apostles. And it's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. At Jerusalem, is in Jerusalem, and suggests where Saul was associating with the apostles. Verse 29 indicates that Saul was openly proclaiming the Lord Jesus, and that the Grecians were seeking to murder him. Well, he's been sought to be murdered previously, so what else is new? Verse 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed with the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. And he, meaning Saul, spake boldly as and speaking boldly, speaking openly or speaking fearlessly, he was speaking. This is an emphatic Hebraism. It's an emphatic way of expressing what Saul was doing. Spake boldly is the same term translated preached boldly in verse 27. In the name of the Lord Jesus suggests that he was proclaiming that Jesus is the promised Messiah and disputed against the Grecians. This is reminiscent of Stephen's experience back in Acts 6, 8 through 10, when Saul may actually have been involved in disputing with Stephen. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. Remember that Saul's hometown was Tarsus, which was located in Cilicia. Does this suggest that Saul may have been involved in the arguing with Stephen? He ended up holding the coats of those that were killing Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Disputing, was debating, or was arguing. Its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. The Grecians They're not like Martians now, okay? The Grecians were Jewish people who had adopted the Greek language and culture. And if you will remember back in Acts 6, the Grecians, the Greek-speaking Jews, were having trouble with the Hebrew-speaking Jews. But introduces a contrasting statement. They, meaning the Grecians, went about to slay him, to slay Saul. Went about as we're going about, we're endeavoring or we're trying. Remember, his life is not in danger because God, the Holy Spirit, is protecting him. Its tense indicates continuing or repeated action in past time. To slay him suggests to do away with or to destroy him by murdering him. Him has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, they were endeavoring him to slay. Apparently, it was about this time that Paul's experience while he was praying in the temple at Jerusalem occurred. It's not recorded here, but it is recorded in Acts 22, verses 17 through 21, which says, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him, meaning I saw Jesus, saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, he's arguing with the Lord. It doesn't ever do you any good to argue with the Lord. Okay, just accept what he says and go on about your business serving him. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And what did the Lord say? Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. He didn't say, be still, but he might as well have. He told him, get out. He needed to do that. Verse 30 indicates that the believers protected Saul by sending him to Tarsus, which was a long way away. And when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, which has been supplied by the translators in reference to the efforts of the Grecians to kill Saul. In the Greek text, the brethren is the subject of both brought down and of sent. When they knew is used in conjunction with brought down, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of brought down. It's been translated as indicating time in the sense of after they, meaning after the brothers knew. It might instead be understood in the sense of because they knew. Knew is perceived, learned of, or ascertained. Its action occurred before the action of brought down and of sent. Why do you suppose they ascertained this? Because the Holy Spirit directed them. It's not that complicated. They, meaning the brethren or the brothers, brought him, means brought Saul down to Caesarea. The reason they went down to Caesarea from Jerusalem is that Caesarea is at a lower elevation than Jerusalem. If you look on the map, they actually went up on the map, but they went down in elevation. It's kind of like, well, I'm from Illinois. That's up from here. When I was in Illinois, North Carolina was down from there. And introduces something else the brethren did. They sent him forth to Tarsus, that's Saul's hometown, located in Cilicia. Sent him, or sent Saul forth to Tarsus, is sent him away to Tarsus. Now, why do you suppose they sent him to Tarsus? Might it have been the Holy Spirit's direction? Of course it was. Verse 31, that's the verse you've been waiting for, hasn't it? It indicates that the churches in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had rest after Saul's conversion. This also was of the Lord. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Then is inferential, understood in the sense of therefore, consequently, accordingly, or so. Had expresses continuing action in past time in the sense of were having. The churches functions as the subject of had. These are individual local churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, meaning throughout all Israel and Samaria. What the churches had was rest or peace, because they were no longer under the threat of the severe persecution they had experienced while Saul was still rampaging against them. And were edified is used in conjunction with had. And its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of had. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to had in the sense of and were being edified, or and were being built up, or and were being strengthened. And connects had with were multiplied. Walking is used in conjunction with multiplied, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of were multiplied. It may be understood as indicating time in the same or in the sense of while they were walking or living. It's used to mean living, or as indicating cause in the sense of because they were walking or living in the fear of the Lord, suggests that they were living as those who feared or stood in awe of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, suggests and in the encouragement provided by the Holy Spirit, were multiplied. Suggests that the churches were being increased greatly in number, and its tense denotes continuing or ongoing action in past time. Following Saul's conversion, his life changed drastically. He immediately began preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. As a result, Saul's life was in danger, and the Holy Spirit directed him back to Tarsus, his hometown. In the same way, when you got saved, your life also changed. God, the Holy Spirit, immediately took up residence in you. You also acquired a new sinless nature, but retained your old sin nature. From then on, your new sinless nature has the desire to live for the Lord, but your old sin nature constantly opposes your living for the Lord. If, like I did, you got saved as a young child, you may not have realized this change. It certainly wouldn't have been as dramatic. However, the change in your life was just as dramatic as it would have been if you had been saved as an adult. This change is evident in your life today, in your desire to live for the Lord as the result of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life and His convicting you of sin. You know, don't you, that sin doesn't bother an unbeliever the way it bothers you as a believer? As you seek to live for the Lord, the Holy Spirit will direct you from wherever you are to wherever He wants you to be, just as He directed Paul to go from Damascus to Arabia and back to Damascus, and then from Damascus to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem to Caesarea, and ultimately to Tarsus in Cilicia. Remember, Saul didn't have a clue what was going to happen to him as he was approaching Damascus. what a change salvation had brought in his life. If you don't have this kind of change in your life, you're not a saved person. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. We would love to help you with that. Let me know if I can be of help to you. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the privilege we have of studying this portion of thy word. Help us to understand it. Help us to be living faithfully for thee. In Jesus' name, amen.